Welcome to Ain't Slayed Nobody. This is an actual play podcast intended for adults and may contain material that some people find disturbing. Please see the episode notes for content warnings and listen with care.
I hope you don't mind my asking, Mr. Bonnie, this is not a reflection on your lovely home, but could we perhaps make the fire in the fireplace a bit smaller? I just grow uneasy ever since he threw the candle in. It seems a bit out of control.
Are you okay, Mr. Bingham?
Fires tend to become smaller on their own.
Yes, if we could just accelerate that process, it might help us all rest easier.
Mr. Bingham, would you prefer to go outside for a moment?
Yes. Would you accompany me?
Of course. And Mercy will lead Chandler outside.
Yeah.
As soon as they're out there, Mr. Bingham, we need you to conduct yourself with a bit more decorum while we are here.
Yes.
We have already gotten off on the wrong foot, and there is information that we still need to gather.
Yes, I know. It was just the, I've told you about the childhood incident with the... where they saw the demons in the walls of the church and burned it down, and it scarred me. I'm having just a memory. I'm okay. I'm fine. His nostrils are like flaring uncontrollably. I just need rest. I think it was the toting of the cart that really...
Yes.
Wore me down.
We should find you a bale of hay then.
Mm-hmm. Out here.
Was there a barn or something? Or like, where were these? Where was he going to put us up?
Yeah, there's a little outbuilding there where there's like a mule munching some hay. You can conk out in some of these hay bales.
John Smith, before going to bed, is going to bring out a fresh piece of whalebone and start scrimshawing a wriggling trout.
Aww.
That's beautiful.
What a certified sweetie.
I know.
That's quite a bone you've got there, Mr. Smith.
Okay.
There's more where that came from. And he pulls out a pocket full of like 5 more whale bones.
Oh, God. Mr. Bonney said that he wasn't likely to sleep that night. Is that right?
That's right.
In which case, I think at least to begin with, the Silas is going to sit up with him.
Okay.
Mr. Bonney, I couldn't help but notice that you were a little skeptical that perhaps the blight might have some bearing on what is happening in your community. And I just wanted to say that I have made something of a study of these things. I am not a learned man or a man of science, but I have, in my own fumbling ways, tried to understand these things. And I have made an extract of the blight that I have found in my own fields. And I have found that it presents one with, in the right conditions, with the most marvelous and divine visions. Ones that would not only perhaps explain some of the strange things that you have seen here, but also, under conditions such as your wonderful home here, provide us with some degree of succor and even wisdom. May I be so bold as perhaps share some of this with you? He says, bring out this little pot.
Now I do my best to maintain some temperance in my doings, but I'll...
Oh, this is not like the demon drink. This is, as I said, the essence of the divine.
Oh, I suppose, long as we say a solemn prayer over it, it could be administered to us as any good repast and for the godly nourishment of one's person.
Oh, Mr. Bonney, I would not have it any other way.
Great. So you're going to trip the Life Fantastic with...
Yes. Get Mr. Bonney off his tits all night, yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So you guys are taking Ergo.
Yes.
Super. So you were munching on that. And what is everyone else doing?
I'm scrimshawing, baby.
You're scrimshawing?
I am lost in the scrimshawing.
You're watching the scrimshawing?
Oh, yeah.
You're a scrimshaw spectator.
It's soothing, I think, because Chandler was quite perturbed.
Mercy Knox?
I'd like to take a look at what was on that piece of paper that I lifted from the good reverend.
Hmm.
It's printed. It's like been printed with a printer's blocks, and it appears to be in Latin. Do you speak Latin?
I do not speak Latin. Damn it. Would I know if anyone else speaks Latin?
Well, I can tell you, you wouldn't need to. At the top of the page, you can see perhaps maybe a title there. It's split down the center in two columns of Latin text, and at the top, there's a legend, and it says, Malleus Maleficarum.
Fuck.
Okay. I think I'll show this to both John and Chandler. And then Scott is getting folks high, something that Silas does basically everywhere we go whenever he has the chance. It would be reasonable for us to suspect that that's what's happening to Mr. Bonnie right now.
Oh, God, yes. I'm sure you've all been through this and probably never want to go through it again.
Great.
As part of my occult flavor, Mercy might know I do speak a little bit of Latin. Maybe she saw me writing something in Latin or maybe even inscribing a candle.
Cool. You want to take a look at that?
Yeah, can we puzzle over this together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see what you get first, and then I might do a follow-up roll.
Okay, so I have 30, so I'll do a roll on it.
Yeah.
Would there be any reason for me to try to, like, make a cult sense of this?
She just saw my roll.
Oh, wow, nice.
I rolled a 92 on that. I'd love to push it if there's anything I can do. Maybe hold it really close to a candle.
Oh, God, if you burn this paper.
If you've got a cult, you probably recognize it. This is a pretty well-known text.
I do have a little occult.
Would I know that just having... I think my occult's 60.
Oh.
I think just having it, I'll give it to you.
Okay, so I'll be like, oh, the witch hammer. I know this. I've heard of this. I've never seen anything like it before. I'll use the 92 then to make out the text beneath the heading maybe and not be able to do that.
Yes, that makes total sense.
Yeah, so this definitely involves witchcraft, I think, but I can't. I'm having trouble with the other words. Captain Smith?
It's all Greek to me.
Why on earth would the Reverend be carrying this in his pocket?
It's just the scrawling's so small. Maybe if I held it closer to a flame.
Oh, I think that's... No, that's fine. We don't need to do that.
That's enough? Okay.
We'll look at it in the morning, maybe.
It goes up instantly. No, it's...
Yeah. That is absolutely what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, no worries. Perhaps Silas, he's a bit of an odd duck. Maybe he's seen something like this.
I think at this stage, Silas is just staring into the flames and saying, oh, look there, Mr. Bonnie, if you stare hard at the flames, you can still see the hand dancing there.
The clay pipe is just kind of dangling from Ransom Bonnie's lip. He's just staring into the flames. He's like,
amazing.
I think Mercy's going to, if she understands the timing of like when Mr. Bonnie's going to be like at his most loose-lipped, she will let that amount of time pass and then head in.
Nice.
Okay.
We're just staying, I imagine, behind while Mercy goes in there. Captain Smith, your hand is so steady.
Oh, yes, I know. It's a family legacy, really. I'm going to roll for scrimshaw because I have that.
Roll it, baby.
See how steady your hand is.
Throw them bones.
This really isn't turning out how I wanted it to. I'm going to throw this one away and pull out a new one to push that roll.
Yes. Push the scrimshaw roll.
You can have this one, Mr. Bingham. You seem fond of it.
Yeah, I'll put that in my satchel.
Great. Yes, keep that one.
Just sniffing it, just like smelling it.
Oh, God.
Oh, see, this one's turning out much better. Yes, thank you. Mm. Now that you're more distracted with the one I gave you, just keep playing with that. Yes.
Okay, so you successfully pushed your scrimshaw roll?
Yeah, I got a 28 under 40.
This looks like just a beautiful rendering of a trout. Mm. It's as though it leapt out of the brook and just was frozen in ivory.
You really are a master. Where do you find the time?
Right now, actually. I've just found the time.
Chandler Bingham, why don't you make a spot hidden for me?
Oh, good. Is this a nose-related spot hidden, I hope?
For you, it always is.
Thank you. I have a regular success on my spot hidden.
Mmm. Sweets.
Sweets, huh?
Yum, yum.
May I follow my nose?
Yes, just follow your nose.
Captain Smith, if you don't mind, would you accompany me? Something delightful's filled my nostrils.
Well, certainly. Well, I am a bit hungry. We've only just eaten.
So I think while Mercy goes off then to back to the main cabin, I'll try to lead Captain Smith off to follow that scent.
Off you go. What are you looking to ask Mr. Bonney in his tripped out state, Mercy Knox?
If it's going to have an influence on this, before we determine his tripped out state, shall I roll my ergot refining roll to see how safe this patch is?
Absolutely. Oh, please.
Oh my God.
I have rolled 82 over my ergot refining skill of 21.
Great. There's flecks of foam at the corner of a Ransom Bonney's mouth. His eyes are wide and unblinking. His pupils are dilated to their maximum width. And he is just like glassy-eyed looking at the ground.
Mercy walks in on this. Silas, is he okay?
I believe Mr. Bonney is speaking to the angels.
Is he sitting in a chair?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hand-carved, beautiful chair.
Oh, wonderful. Mercy's going to like kind of kneel down in front of him, so she's sitting back on her heels, and she's going to make herself kind of like as small and wide-eyed and kind of like innocent-looking as possible and childlike as possible. And then she'll just look up at Mr. Bonney and she'll say, Mr. Bonney, who is Dandy Jack?
A rasping breath escapes him.
She'll take his hands to kind of like give him a little bit of grounding.
And he's peering at you. Dandy Jack's right here. He's moving through the lanes, dancing on the treetops. He sees you when you're sleeping, and he goes inside your dreams. Leave a suite for Dandy Jack, or else he'll take you.
Okay.
Roll for sanity.
Yeah. Should I? Okay.
Come on, Captain Smith. I smell yum yums.
I did fail my sanity roll.
Yes.
I like that. I like when that happens.
Great.
But you know, that's just a conversation, but it's the tableau of this man underlit by firelight, his glassy eyes looking through you as this odd smile plays over. So you lose two sanity.
I think I'd better make a sand roll as well.
Go for it.
Oh, no, I'm fine here.
Well, you're tripping, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think part of this, too, Mercy is suddenly struck by fear that she's taken this sweetbread.
Oh, God.
I think that she might kind of let go of his hands, kind of like start back, and she'll say, Silas, I have something I need to do. And she'll go out with her little bread. She's going to put the bread back.
Answer his riddles, says Mr. Bonney, as he begins to contemplate the floor again.
Mm.
It's just down, down. It's so cold. And that's what he's muttering.
You're following your nose, right, Mr. Bingham?
Yeah, come on, Captain Smith.
I'm right behind you.
I smell yum-yums.
Good.
You walk, and one of the other buildings that is shuttered and dark and quiet, you can see sitting on the windowsill, resting on a little ceramic plate, is a baked apple. It looks like someone has carved the core out of an apple and scooped a little bit of sugar inside and baked it over the fire, and it is just saturated with syrupy sugar, and this delicious appley aroma is wafting from it.
Can I do something weird?
Why stop now?
Can I roll my sense of smell to see how irresistible the apple is?
Yeah, please do.
I think if I fail, then I can avoid it. But if I pass, I'm going to need that apple.
Okay.
It's like a scent sanity roll in a way.
Okay.
I've passed. So I have a regular success. So I think I'm going to grab Captain Smith by the sleeve and kind of yank him toward the apple and say, I don't think they'd miss one apple.
It does look quite scrumptious.
Doesn't it? It looks tender too. Maybe we could split it.
One bite wouldn't hurt.
Do you eat the apple?
Do you want to be naughty?
Of course.
Okay, so we will...
You could be a couple of bad, bad boys. So another... John Smith is being very naughty.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the lead on grabbing the apple, though. So we'll just take the whole plate, I think, and then return the plate when we're done.
Great.
Mr. Bingham, did you smell this all the way from the barn?
I did.
It really is quite a talented nose you've got.
Thank you.
I always sort of doubt you, but you've led us right to one of the most delicious looking apples I've ever seen, I dare say.
Thank you. He's blushing intensely. His nostrils are larger than his eyes, so I think the nostrils are almost looking at you, Captain Smith.
No, what?
Yes. The eyes of your nose, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
The apple of the eye of your nose.
So I think maybe we'll try to hide around the well you described earlier.
Uh-huh.
You know, sit behind the well and share the apple.
Okay, munch, munch, munch on the apple. I should tell you that something fell off the plate when you took the apple off.
Oh, food or other?
Just looked like a stick.
Huh, that's odd. Kind of point that out to the captain.
Does it look like it could be easily carved upon?
Not very easily. It's quite thin. Hmm. It's just a little piece of like what looks like a little bit of an apple tree with the leaf.
Well, that's cute.
Oh, yeah. And when you pick it up, in the light of the moon, you can see that someone has, with a little sewing needle, pierced it many, many times as though etching on it. And through the little pinpricks, they formed letters in just a naive and clumsy child's hand. And you already know what it says. For Dandy Jack.
Oh.
Is this for you? Isn't Jack another name for John?
Yes, but I've never been here before.
Oh.
So I don't know. Perhaps they were expecting me.
You made an impression on the Reverend, so I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, then I guess it is for us. We might as well chow down.
Yeah, let's...
So you're slurping on the apple.
Yeah.
Chandler Bingham loving every second. John Smith eating it in the most like erotic way possible.
Oh, my God.
All kinds of awesome apple syrup like dripping down his powerful forearms. So you've eaten the apple. It's the dead of night right now.
Don't forget to lick the sugar out.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Well, let's just sit in this scene for a while.
Way ahead of you.
Okay.
Chandler's not even eating it. He's just watching Captain Smith.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. I've forgotten to share. I do apologize. Would you like the core?
Well, the core has been cut out.
Yeah.
All right. There's not even a core to share with you.
Do you have some sugar syrup on your fingers, maybe, that you could just lick off a little bit?
One thing could lead to another here, so okay.
And we fade to the others.
End scene.
Can Mercy's path have taken her, like, either on the way there or on the way back?
Out of the corner of your eye, you see John Smith and Chandler Bingham, Lady and the Tramping, this baked apple.
And... We all knew who's the tramp.
Mercy, would you like a lick?
Prithee, sir, be less thirsty.
Uh. Zooks.
Where did you get that?
There was a note that said it was to me, so...
Mm-hmm.
To you?
Someone left it on a windowsill for Dandy Jack here.
And I suppose that means me.
No.
I'm quite dandy, and Jack is a nickname for John, as Mr. Bingham pointed out.
How on earth did you come to this? No, no, no. Gentlemen, I think this is supposed to be a ward of some kind. I think it's part of a superstition that these people have. I think that you may have done something that could be seen to cause offense.
Oh, well, we've eaten it, so we should be safe.
Okay. She kind of shoves on the sweetbread. This was left out as well. I'm going to put it back.
Oh, well, good. I'm not...
Do not eat it.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we just tear off a little piece?
No.
I forgot to share with Mr. Bingham, so perhaps that should go to him, actually.
No, absolutely not.
I didn't get much of the apple.
She looks directly in your eyes. Mr. Bingham, if you eat even a crumb of this, I will kill you. And then she'll just walk off.
You're trying to look into his eyes, but you're looking into his nostrils.
Oh, God. Just falling. It's like looking into the void.
It's like, hey, my nose is down here.
Yeah.
As Mercy walks off, could we put that on the plate and maybe undo the offense?
Shut up.
Oh, well.
We could just cut it in half.
I'm going to take a gold coin. Not a gold coin. I'll take a copper coin out of my little pouch that I carry and just throw it down in the well before we leave. Good luck.
Now, at this vantage point, I can tell you that this well has boards over it.
Oh.
So your coin would be going in between the slats of the boards, but it could do that.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to drop it in between then and say, for luck.
You hear it like kind of shing go through the planks covering the well. There's a chill rising up from it, musty aroma, and you listen, and you listen, and there's nothing.
Okay, maybe it's dry, but deep. Can I put my nose up to the crack in the kind of the slot there and take a big whiff of the well?
What's to stop you?
I'm just gonna roll this as many times as I can.
Ross, you see what you've allowed?
I did this to myself.
You did.
Well, I rolled a 93, so if I could tear one of the boards away to get a better, kind of better access, I'd like to push that roll.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Okay, I got a hard success that time.
A hard success. Okay, great. Rising from this well, the smell is of dank, age, stagnant swampiness, the smell of a room that has been left untended for a century.
Huh.
And because of your hard success rising up through that, fur, like the smell of a barnyard, and then through that, sugar.
Oh.
Yum.
I think you know, Ross, that I'm going to puke in the well. With my heightened sense of smell, it's too overwhelming. I'd say the sugar hits first and then the fur, and it's just, I lose it. The apple, whatever I had of the apples, just back into the well.
Well, down it goes.
Nice.
Oh, good zooks.
Would I be able to tell, like, if this well just goes straight down, or is it leading to something else, like, under the town?
Ooh.
The smell of sweets in particular is going to make him wonder, like, does this go under the houses or?
Is your sense of smell also echolocation?
Yes, this is a borderline superpower, Danny.
Yeah. As my friend Jared Logan would say, like, easy, counselor, you're on thin ice. I don't know that you've got bat-like super sense that you're sending out your nostril beams into the dark and having a sense of its size and depth. But yes, I think perhaps the aroma that you get, just the quantity of it, the age of it, the distance of it, you get the sense that this is a larger space than a well would be. It's not just a shaft. There's more going on.
It smells cavernous.
Nice.
Exactly. It smells huge, dude.
I think when he walks away from the well, Captain Smith will see, like, his nostrils don't unflare. They're still, like, in this, this enlarged state.
Cool. John Smith, roll sanity.
Nostril sanity.
Mm-hmm. He's like a pig man.
69 on my sanity. Just wanted to share that.
Oh, God.
John Smith, gonna John Smith, I guess. I think one sanity lost from looking at Chandler Bingham's nostrils.
Great.
When you stare into the nostrils stare into you.
I was job. Yeah. Scott, wow. Yes.
Uh-huh. They have like a vortex quality to them.
Into the double yawning abyss.
Did either the Reverend or Mr. Bonney give us some indication where Winnet Wilmot is being held?
Winnet Wilmot. And I believe there was maybe some confusion of, this is a woman.
Yeah.
I was confused about that.
No problem. Many of these names are androgynous. Hmm. Winnet Wilmot is under the church, was how it was described to you. Hmm. That's where she's being held.
I think Mercy would go back to where John and Chandler are doing something next to a well. I think she'd go back to them and she'd say, gentlemen, I am keen to speak with Miss Wilmot.
Hmm.
I think that she's being held under the church. Would either of you care to accompany me?
I'd certainly like to. I don't believe in witchcraft, and I don't much like her accusations against women that are unjustified. So I'd happily accompany you.
Under the church? I think Chandler's going to wonder. Like, he knows that the well's cavernous, and it's close to the church, right?
Yeah.
Maybe there's something going on under the church. I think he's interested. Should we fetch Silas and go as a team?
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
To clarify, is this the next morning or is this at night?
Sounds like this is continuous. So this is the same night.
Mm.
I want to say it's now probably like 1 or 2 in the morning.
That's kind of what I feel like we better to do at night under the cover of darkness.
The dandy jack hours, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's head back to the blacksmith then and fetch Silas. I think Silas could be useful if he's not too high.
I think he's often most useful when he is high.
Fair point, Mercy.
The other members of your party swim into your vision, Silas, leaving tracers behind them as they come to you.
Oh, this firelight makes you glow like the very rays of sun sent down from the heavens themselves.
Can I throw like a pail of water on the fire?
Okay. I would get in the way of that. I would definitely get in the way of that happening.
Mercy is soaked and we're off.
Good God.
God.
Or perhaps you bat it out of his hand before it hits the...
Yeah. Yeah, prevent that from happening is probably what I should have said.
Very good. Yeah, that's fair.
The clatter makes Ransom Bonney emit a high-pitched shriek and he kind of crab walks into a corner.
I think Mercy would help him into his bed. I think she would do that before then going to Silas and telling him the plan and asking if he wants to come. Mercy's all about consent, I guess, is the thing that I'm... No.
Yeah, love it. So yeah, you gently guide him to bed and he's kind of lays down. And as he looks at you, he's kind of looking at you helplessly. It's like,
I hope the dreams would not come. That's why I'd stayed awake. And now the dreams come to me in wakefulness.
Oh, Mr. Bonney, those aren't dreams.
I wonder if that is strictly productive at this point, Silas.
I still see Mr. Bingham's hand. I feel it reaching for me.
Believe me, Mr. Bonney, Mr. Bingham's hand is otherwise occupied.
I'll just... Oh dear.
Do you have a sweet that you would like me to put out for you?
The jar above the mantle.
I'll retrieve that.
There's a crockery jar and in it there's a few chunks of rock candy.
Ooh.
The whole thing?
I'll just do a bit.
She'll just kind of fetch a plate, if there is one, and put some of the candy on there. And then I guess if there's like something to write on or with, that she'll put the four dandy jack somewhere.
Love it. Yeah, okay.
I've got a spare bone if you need it.
Could you carve into it for Dandy Jack?
Sure, yes. Let me just roll for Scrimshaw.
If you fail, we could write it in wax.
For Wendy Whack.
Scrimshawing a post-it note, pretty labor-intensive.
That was a success, though.
It's called pride and craftsmanship, Ross, okay?
So you've successfully scrimshawed the note. It's now 5 a.m.
Ooh, okay.
No. But I think, yeah, maybe if you just like, it makes sense to me that you could use scrimshawing tools to carve a little message into something and leave it there. Yeah. Great.
Just a quick scrim.
Just a little scrim.
Just a scrim, just a little.
Miss Knox, would I be correct in believing that you are leaving this out as an offering for some spirit that comes in the night?
It seems like a custom in this town, and Mr. Bonnie seems as though he could use some comfort.
I wonder whether someone does actually come round at night and consume these things.
Mercy looks at John and Chandler.
Oh, look, Captain Smith, someone left some candy for you.
All right.
I love rock candy.
Smack the hand. No.
If someone is eating them at night, we might be able to find out who it is. And I'll dig into my pocket and pull out the jar and smear some ergot on the candy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
Great. So the candy has been ergotified. And are you going to the church?
Mercy definitely is. And I don't know who else wants to come.
Great.
Yeah, I'll come with you.
Silas was the only question mark, I think, for that.
Silas, I think, is in a very suggestible state.
Yeah.
All right. We're off.
You come to the church. It's as described before. There's the bell and the stave out front. It is very simple. It is bare bones. A little steeple. You can kind of peep through the slats of windows and you see there is no iconography of any kind inside. There's like little chairs, table. It is the picture of simplicity. But you can tell that there's like little shafts at ground level that kind of, if you got next to them, you might be able to peep into a lower basement or something where that are kind of letting air in. There's more to this building than just what's here level with the ground.
I don't know if this would have been the custom back then, but like churches leave their door, like they don't lock the doors to the churches, right? Or do they? Is the door locked? I guess it'd be the simple way of asking that question. Can we get into the church?
Yeah, you can.
Great. In we go.
Was there a basement access though? You said she was underground.
Groaning on the door hinges as they swing open.
Oh, thank God that was the door.
Yeah.
I know. I thought, who have we disturbed?
You're walking past like rows of chairs. This is a church where people on Sunday come and they stay all day.
Everyone, if we are discovered, we are here to pray.
There's like a door behind the altarpiece. Or the altar. There's no altar piece. There's no images in here. Mm. And that's the only door that you can see here.
How's the lighting?
Very dark. You, Chandler Bingham, would notice that there are candles, but they're not lit. And there's a little bit of moonlight coming in through shutters.
Okay.
That look like they can be swung open on hinges on the outside. But right now they're shut and they're just bands of light rippling across the floor, and that's all you've got to go by. Little motes of dust in the air.
I do have a tinderbox, so I'll light some of their candles. I'll spare them the hand of glory and light some of the candles that are already here.
They seem like well-made, homemade tallow candles.
Little jealousy, maybe. Okay. Well, they seem to have a capable candle maker in town. I guess we won't be staying.
And anything else you're looking for? You've got that door in the back?
Yeah, I think Mercy's just going to try the door handle.
It turns and opens, and you're now in a small passageway. You can see there's a few odds and ends, what looks like a printed Bible. There's some pewter cups, just a little basket, and there's another door there. You can also see like there's a little writing desk with quill and an ink pot. And it looks also as though there's a ring on the floor that if you pulled it up would lift a hatch.
Okay. Questions. Is the church attached to, I don't know what you would, is it a rectory? The place where the reverend would live? His home?
Based on the way he popped out earlier, it would seem that his residence is, that this is his residence.
And just by like the layout of everything and where we saw that, could I get the sense that this other door in this passageway kind of like leads to his house?
That seems likely.
Great. So not going to that door.
How stealthy are we being, speaking of?
Oh, yeah. I think she's being pretty quiet, or trying to be pretty quiet, I guess.
She is. I'm a mariner. We have no need for stealth.
Silas is a big lumbering ox. He's size 70 and has no stealth.
But I think that like Mercy's idea is if y'all are making a hubbub out there, then maybe she can kind of like hide. If something happens, if someone comes in, she can just kind of like hide in a shadow and, you know what I mean? Like use y'all as cover.
Oh.
So this is a plan now, is it?
It's like a loose plan.
Okay.
They don't know what's going on.
So you are sort of using your fellows as a...
Just as plausible deniability should someone come in.
Okay. All right.
Not encouraging a lot of noise, but just, you know.
Cool.
Because if someone comes in and we're like, yeah, we were praying in the dark with no candles lit and just being like real quiet for some reason, like that just seems suspicious.
Well, now candles are lit.
I think if it helps with this, Silas is genuinely praying in the church.
Great.
Amazing.
Of course.
He's there before the altar, his hands up in the darkness as if touching invisible things floating through the air around him and saying, oh, yes, I understand. I understand. Thy will be done.
Great. So what's the move then? You're going to go down?
I'd like to flip through the Bible real quick before I do, and then also just like do a quick search of the desk, the writing desk.
Great.
Yeah, for the Bible, looking at the inside cover, the first page, the back page, and then kind of doing the thing of like, you know, where you, you shake out a book.
Find the rock hammer. Yep.
Great. You open it up and there's a gun in there?
Oh my, yes, great. It's like a musket.
It's bigger on the inside. The Bible is a Bible.
There we go.
It's heavily used, clearly an object of daily study. The desk is a very simple affair. It looks like there's a partially written sermon on it in the hand of, you would assume, Reverend Hasselrig. Passing your eye over it, it's in a very apocalyptic sinners in the hands of an angry God mode. The Almighty regards humanity as a spider held at arm's length over a vast gulf of fire. We are not worthy to raise our prayers up to him, and it is only by his sufferance that we, etc., etc.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if this is going to be useful. I'd like to try to, like, memorize his handwriting a little bit.
Ooh, the forger, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You can
great
clock his handwriting, and if you want to do something in his hand later, then you'll have that to go on when you're forgings.
Neat. I'll let everybody else know that I'm going to go down into this hatch then.
Okay. Captain Smith, you're shivering.
That's a bit chilly.
Should we go with Mercy or?
Should have brought a coat or something.
Stay here with the madman.
I'd prefer not to stay, frankly.
Very well. Should we invite him?
No, I think he seems like he's actively praying.
Okay, well, I'll follow your lead then.
Great. Well, down the hatch.
Mercy has a strong urge to separate these two, but we'll remain quiet.
So we've kind of walked in and we're just looking at Mercy, watching her open the hatch, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, are we going to have a problem here?
No.
No.
Excellent.
We're stealthy and trustworthy.
Why would we have a problem?
If there's a ladder, Captain Smith, perhaps I'll go first and then watch you to make sure you get down safely.
Thank you, yes. I'd appreciate that.
Okay, lifting up the hatch.
The hatch is lifted.
Great.
There is a ladder going down.
Okay. Mr. Bingham.
Oh, first. sure.
Yes, use that nose of yours. And
I have a collapsible lantern, Ross.
Okay.
An oil lamp.
Oh, great.
Is that fair? It is on my character sheet. I know I'm a candle man, but I do have a lantern as well.
Playing both sides, eh? Okay.
Collapsible. Wow.
He experimented in his younger days. You can't hold that against him.
Actually, you know what? I feel bad about it now. So what I'm going to do is light a hand of glory candle and break off the fingers.
For fuck's sake.
How many of those do you fucking have?
They just fit in your pockets.
Oh, it's a big satchel. I'm going to offer fingers to Mercy and John so we all have a candle.
Okay.
I mean, that's an interesting way of putting that.
I'll give John the middle finger so he has the longest burn.
Everybody's got a finger.
Yeah. I'll take the thumb.
The weirdest candle I've ever held.
Yeah, so I'll go down first into the darkness.